Welcome to the incredible world of the Black Panther podcast, Into the Wild with Business, where each conversation goes behind the scenes and gets under the hood of our guest's superpower, where I uncover the truth and the real life experiences without all the fluff and the BS. This is boots on the ground, wholesome insight. I'm your host, Emily Newstead, and we're here to shatter conventions, stereotypical frameworks, shiny object syndrome, and rose-tinted glasses so that we can unapologetically get down to what life and business look like at its core, day-to-day, and in all its glory. Every episode is a celebration of courage and its testament to the power of raw, unfiltered leaders in today's world. Join me as I delve into the untamed wilderness of business, drawing strength and wisdom from real life challenges. Get ready to be inspired, transformed, and empowered. The journey begins here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Black Panther podcast. Today, we are joined by the queen of the jungle, your fairy godmother in all things public speaking, the fabulous, the one and only Pascal Bergmans. Yay! Hello, Pascal. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Love that you are a guest on today's episode. This is wonderful. And to all of our listeners who, like, A, they either love you already, or B, they're going to discover you today and be like, I am now in love with Pascal. So either way, they're all going to love you and just think you're absolutely fabulous, which is why you have been handpicked to come on here as well. So it's a real pleasure. So without further ado, I mean, the big hot question on everyone's lips, especially mine, is what is your superpower? Fire away.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting question because I remember when you asked me for this podcast and you said, this is the one thing we're going to talk about. And I was like, how do you prepare for something like this? And I was thinking, like, what is my superpower? And what is a superpower that is helpful? Because one of my superpowers is that I can eat a lot of sushi in one sitting. And that is definitely a superpower, but not one that refers to business. But I think when we talk about business and entrepreneurship and just life in general, I think discipline is definitely my superpower.
Oh, okay, right. First of all, I definitely need to take you up on the sushi eating one, because I think all of our listeners now are like, can we have a side video, please, of Pascal and her sushi superpower? So yes, we're going to have a part two to this, most definitely.
Absolutely.
Keep your eyes peeled. I love that. Coming back to, and I suppose the discipline probably comes into eating the sushi as well. I will get through these pieces. What a great superpower, Pascal. Tell us why discipline. What is it about discipline that literally has you hook, line and sinker to just unite with it, put your jigsaw pieces together? Fire away. Tell us what it is about discipline that just rocks your world and is your superpower.
Well, what I think about discipline is normally people have quite a negative association with the word, right? But I think discipline is doing stuff without motivation. And that doesn't sound as depressing as it is. But when I think about just life in general, when we have to do things, when you want to get ahead, when you want to be better than everybody else, when you want to crush the competition, when you want to do something that isn't easy or that doesn't come naturally, you're not always going to want to go to training. You're not always going to know everything there is to know. You're not always going to have the energy to study or to learn something new. And I'm really good, and it's really weird to say that, isn't it? But I am really good at not asking myself, do I want to do this? But at asking myself, can I do this? And do I have to do this? And that's, I think, where discipline comes in. I'm like, okay, this is my plan for the day. These are the five things that I need to get done. And yes, I do have a list of five things that I need to get done every single day. And I've had that for however many years, like since I can remember. And it helps me to stay on track. And it helps me to get more enjoyment out of life. Because if you don't ask yourself the question, will I enjoy this? You will enjoy it automatically a lot more. Instead of, oh, I don't feel like it right now, so I'm not going to do it. Well, that's just going to stay with you forever and ever and ever. Until you then finally do it, you see it's not as bad as you thought. And then, oh, you know, you've wasted all that time feeling shite about having to do it and not doing it. So that's why I chose discipline.
Oh, very true. And, you know, it's a real great point there, because if it's something that has to be done, we can either just, as you say, deploy the discipline, get on and do it, even if we don't want to do it, or still end up doing it however many days, weeks, months, years, even down the line, and exhausted hella amount of energy on procrastination. So, yeah, you great point well made there, Pascal. Tell the listeners then, okay, where did this come from? Where did your like love of discipline start? What kickstarted that fire in your belly?
Is it terrible that it just made me sound German that I love discipline? I love Germany. I used to live there, but no. Where did my love of discipline come from? When I was younger, I'm quite a competitive person. So whatever I did, like I did climbing for a long time, like rock climbing. I did musical theater, which I've done most of my life. Mm-hmm. Even just board games. I'm banned from most board games. because I am really, really competitive. And I like winning. I like winning. I really do. And I, like I said earlier to today, there is a point where discipline becomes stubbornness. And I feel that discipline often is just a really nice word for being really stubborn. And my husband and most people that will know me can attest to this, that I am a very stubborn person. So for me, I think discipline comes from two ways. A, it's how I'm built, it's how my brain works. And yes, if I don't do those things, then the world will crumble. That's sort of what it feels like.
Yeah, good point.
Also, I do have ADHD. So yeah, when you live with ADHD, life is hard to live in general, and you need to have some form of routine. And you will hear people with ADHD say, I hate routine. And it's true. Like, I hate it too. I wish I could live my life on a whim and just be like, yeah, whatever, we'll do that whenever it suits me. But I know that when I do that, I won't actually get anything done. And I noticed that very early on. Like, I must have been like a teen or something, where I noticed, okay, if I don't put in the work and if I don't tell myself when I'm going to do the work, I'm not going to do it. And that means I will lose. So it really comes from a place of not wanting to lose. And that could be losing a game. It could be losing at, you know, not passing my test or stuff like that. Yeah. It really comes from that deep need of wanting to succeed. And I noticed that you need discipline rather than motivation to get where you want to be.
Nice. So for you to win, you like to have that discipline.
Yeah.
If you were to have that sense of losing in that competitive environment and ecosystem, that would be you just saying, I'm not going to have any structure to my day, and therefore nothing will get accomplished. And that would make you feel like you're losing against that competition. Are you in competition with yourself or with other people? Where's that drive? Because I guess then the discipline is, ooh, I like a slice of what they're doing over there. Does that then filter into your daily tasks or framework, would you say? Or are you really like in like Pascal's tracks? Are you going, right, okay, where am I competing against myself in my next move?
Yeah, it's definitely the latter. For me, when I started my business last year, I had this crazy goal of making six figures in the first 12 months. That was my goal. And if I had done that, I was successful. Nobody told me that that was the case. I had not seen anybody posting about this. This was not nobody put this on me but me, which, by the way, also makes my life hell most days. Because if you put that kind of pressure on yourself, is not being very nice to yourself. But that was, for me, that's how I could prove to myself that I could do this. And if I couldn't do it in 12 months, then I was going to go and find a normal 9-to-5 job. Luckily, I did manage it in the first 12 months. And I think that was purely because I refused to not hit that goal. So the only way I was going to do it was by doing it. So I had to learn from other people how they set up their business, how they did sales, how they did their marketing. And I just went into this hole of how do I run a bloody business? Because I've never done that before. And I had no idea how do you create something from nothing, right?
Yeah.
So that's how that happened. And luckily, you know, everything went all right. And I'm very lucky that the things went the way they went. But I think 99% of the success has been through sheer discipline and stubbornness in not wanting to give up. So therefore, the only way up is up and not any other track. So it's always in competition with myself, for sure. I'm trying to prove myself something. But I'm like, I should probably go on a yoga or like meditation course and be okay with myself. But, you know, I'm just always in competition with me.
It's a funny concept. I say that sometimes, you know, when everything gets really full on, you're like, oh man, I'm just gonna go like rent surfboards on a beach and just sit there in the sun all day. And then I'm like, yeah, but what would slowly start happening is my mind would get to how many surf rental shacks can I have and where can I have them? And do we start selling coffee? And then what if we did snacks? And oh, what if we did? And I feel like once you've got that mindset, you put the variable in, but I feel like it is that bloody mindedness, isn't it? You're like, that's where I'm going. Okay, so when you've put that goal out there in front of you, Pascal, what do you do in terms of working out your next step? Because that is, we've got the discipline of the goal itself. And then I can tell that you go into those extensive research modes. You want to find all, you want to uncover all them holes. You want to find like all the information to help get to that step and take the incremental ones along the way. But how do you personally decide what those steps are, what your first one is, and then I guess the framework that says, right, you mentioned you've got 5 things you do every day. Does that come from the research itself, or how do you do those first steps?
Yeah, no, everything I do in life has a strategy. Mm-hmm. Nothing is by accident. No, it was serendipity. No, this is, there is a strategy. Like, to give you an example, it's not just business. We're about to do a renovation and there's a strategy for how we're going to go about the renovation. And so I will write. So I start with like, what's the big goal? And I think in order to find out what the goal is, you need to allow yourself to dream and to go, okay, this is what I want to achieve. Like what does, nothing else matters. You're going to be successful no matter what. What does that look like? So that's when you set yourself that goal. And then you start reverse engineering. So I go, okay, well, if I want to do that, I need a product, right? So if I set myself the goal of 100K in 12 months, what do I need? I need a product or a service that I can sell. Cool. That's one. Then I need a way to market it. That's two. Then I need, I need clients. Like, and how do I find them? So I need a sales process. And then all of these become sort of mini goals that I need to hit. So I need to create a service. Okay, if I want to start marketing it by next month, I need to start working on that now. And that's how I then create my 5 tasks a day. And I use a productivity book called The Productivity Planner. I'm very very, very bright minds. But I basically write down the 5 most important tasks of the week.
Yeah.
And my week, by the way, is Monday to Friday. Yeah. Saturday, Sunday, my brain needs a break. So they don't count. So I write down the 5 most important tasks. Then I write down the secondary tasks. So I make sure I do those 5 big tasks first, get them out of the way, even if I don't feel like it. So then I can move on to the secondary tasks. And then I have 5 additional tasks. And that's how it works. And there's lots of research that shows that when we write down our goals, we are, I believe it's like 86% more likely to hit our goals just by writing them down. You don't even need to use them or do them. You just need to write them down. And then once you've written it down, for me, it becomes very official. I'm like, ooh, that's my handwriting. I can't fail myself, you know. I why would I do that to myself? I know that if I do these things, it will work out. So then every day I sit down, okay, Monday morning, what do I need to get done in order to get some of these things of my list ticked off? And I put a certain amount of hours or minutes attached to that. So I go, like, today I hosted a masterclass. I need to make sure I follow up with that. I'm going to give myself half an hour for that. So half an hour is blocked in my day to send everybody an email, to thank them, to share the recording, whatever. And then that's it. And if I do it in less than half an hour, I get 15 minutes to my day back. Fantastic. And so I go through my day in a step-by-step process. Now, sometimes shit happens. Yeah. So during your day, today I had a call and somebody, the call went very different than I thought it would be. And for someone with ADHD, that's hard because if things change, you're like, oh, what am I going to do? And I had to make a really big proposal, which is really exciting. But because it's different from what I expected to do today, I was like, where am I going to fit this in? This is a big problem in my life. And then I need to go to my board or my five plans. Like, okay, where can I fit this in? And what's going to have to go if I don't do this? And that's why we do the most important task first. Because if I do that task, it's been a successful day. Otherwise, you're never going to be happy with yourself. So get that thing done, get it out the way before lunchtime, and then the rest is all secondary. So that's how I go about it. But yeah, everything in my life has a complete strategy to it. Every day, every hour, it has a strategy.
So if we saw you at 2 a.m. one at some time, like going into a phone booth and turning into Superwoman, don't question it. It's all part of the plan. It's in the strategy. It's linked. Just nod and tip your hat and keep walking.
Like, there are no coincidences. No.
Oh, Pascal. I mean, and there's so many questions. I'm really thinking, like, where can I go next with this? So quick fire round, sure. But let's start with this thing. How do you decide which is the most important of the five tasks that have to be done first? Is it the one that you like the least, or is it the one that is going to give you the most return financially? Or is that first task what's going to move the needle the most on the wider strategy? How do you determine which is your first task of the five? Does it change day by day, week by week? I'll leave it there before I come to the next question.
It changes project to project. So if it's a business goal, what's the next thing that's going to make me money? What's going to move the needle in either increasing revenue or, you know, getting me paid today? So that's often the choice there. For other projects, it's the thing that takes the longest, because I know that if something takes me 2 hours, I don't want to flipping do it. Okay, life is busy. I don't want to do something for 2 hours. So that's why I do it right away. And there's loads of different research that says different things. Some of them say, do the thing you don't want to do. Do the thing you do want to do. Do the thing that takes the longest. You know what? Choose for yourself what works. So for me, business related is the money-making stuff goes first. When it's like, for example, the renovation, it's the stuff that takes the longest. So we had to research all kinds of building companies that it takes ages and it is boring as hell. So then that's the first thing we did. And then now we need to apply for planning and all that fun stuff. So yeah, I go with the stuff that takes the longest so that the biggest task of the day is out of the way and I can enjoy the rest of my day guilt-free.
Guilt-free days, lovely. And how do you find that discipline fares when it comes to your weekends? And you mentioned Monday to Friday, you are on. When it comes to Saturdays and Sundays, do you find that you still like to have that discipline in terms of taking on a hobby or where you want to go on that weekend? Like, how does that work if we were looking at business Pascal and, you know,
weekend Pascal?
Yeah fill in the blanks. Yeah.
They're not very different from each other. So what you'll see on the weekend, and there is a strategy for my weekends as well, of course. It's a lot more free-flowing, though. So there is less pressure on me on the weekend, right? I don't have clients to serve. I don't need to check in with prospects. Like, that is really the time where I don't really care about my business. Things could go up in flames. I'm like, well, we always have Monday. So that's a Monday problem. That's a big saying in our household. Yeah. So I really couldn't care less. So on Saturday and Sunday, I make sure in the weekend, I always take about at least 2 hours for myself. So two yeah. hours where I do, like, I like doing a face mask, have a bath, do my nails, you know, the whole, this yeah. is for me, no dogs, no husband, stay away from me, you know, I just want to listen to my audiobook and leave me alone. So that is always in there. And I plan that. I plan ahead, like, when am I going to do that? And I communicate that to my husband as well. Like, hey, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, do not speak to me. I am not there. So, you know, we try to sort of manage that. And he does the same, like, hey, I want to go for a beer with my friends. Please do. When are you going to go? So we make sure that we, you know, we yeah. are available. So it definitely has a plan. And I still, for example, wake up at the same time on the weekends. So mm-hmm. we wake up at 6:30 every day in my household. And if I'm up, I just read my book. And it just means that I got more time to read. I've got more time to do my makeup in the morning or to take a shower. But I do the same things. Like, yeah, I'm like a little bit autistic when it comes to these things. And most people say that sounds horrible. I'm like, no, I don't have to set an alarm. My body wakes up automatically at 6:30 and it gets tired at 9 and I go to bed, you know? So it's, my life is very easy because I don't have to think about these things. We only have a certain amount of decisions we can make in a day. And I've eliminated as many as possible. So I don't have to think about them.
Dreamy. And there is a thing, isn't there, that it says, like, you know, and I love this. One of my good friends, she will say when she goes on holiday, the only decision I need to make today is what ice cream am I having later on. Like, she's like, my decision making needs to be nil. What, you know, what drink am I going to have? What am I going to have for my lunch? Like, that's it. And something you just said there, Pascal, I know that the listeners will be thinking, ooh, now then, how can I adopt that amongst all of the many incredible things you've already mentioned? But this one hack, especially, where we look at our calendar, how do we remove any mental energy that we could be literally just like expending without it being necessary? And we make those decisions for ourselves by saying, like, you know, you said there yourself, like, this is what time I wake up. This is the time I go to sleep. You're not wasting mental energy thinking, oh, what time shall I get up today? And people do this. They lie in bed, don't they? And they spend half an hour, again, procrastinating when they could have done something way better in that time. Have you found those things have come naturally to you? Or, again, have you created that discipline to instill those routines or those patterns? I know we all have a circadian rhythm, and it sounds to me like you're a morning lark, which that's, you're going to see some beautiful sunrises. So is that come naturally, or have you put those routines and patterns there as well to serve you, and or tested, tried them out and gone, oh, that doesn't work then, but this works better here, and hey presto.
Yeah, I think a bit of both. I think growing up with, so when you have ADHD, and this, the type of ADHD I have, means that I need that, because if I don't, I will be one of those people that's in bed. It won't be half an hour of scroll hole. It will be 2 or 3 hours. You go into the scroll hole. So for example, if I know that at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning I have to coach someone, if that gets cancelled, I then have no plan. And I will be just on my phone in the scroll hole, not being able to do anything, whilst I could have used that hour much better. Yeah. So therefore, I've had to implement these things, and that's come quite naturally. So I've just gone, The main thing I would say is plan. Just plan ahead. You know what your day is going to look like tomorrow. You can plan the things that you can plan for. There's this thing where you say, you can't control the thing. You can control the things you can, but everything else is out of your control.
Yeah.
So try to control what you can. So you can control what time you get up. You can control what time you go to the gym. You can control what time you eat. You can control what time you go for a walk. Bloody put it in your diary. Okay. Just, I wake up at 6:30, I read till 7, then I get out of bed, I'm in the gym by 7:30, I finish by 8:30, I'm at my desk at 10 o'clock. Yeah, so in between I have my breakfast and all that stuff. I start work at 10, perfect. Then I have either coaching or whatever is in my diary on that day, and I go from there, you know. And every day between 12 and 1 and 2, there's a block, because that's when I go out on a dog walk and have lunch. That's there every day. And sometimes we live in a world where we feel like we always need to serve everybody, right?
Yeah.
You go, oh yeah, okay, fine. I'll shave an hour off my 2-hour lunch break so that I can accommodate another person for their coaching call or their new business call. And it's like, you know what? there's a lot of other hours in the day. So if we can't make it work today, we'll make it work next week. That's fine. You know, I've stopped bullying myself into, I need to be there for everybody. I need to be available at all times. I'm not here. I'm just not. So if you want to meet between 12 and 2, we're not going to meet. It's that simple, you know? So that's how I'm really strict with that, with my own rules. And that's also automatically really put a lot of boundaries in my life. So it means that some people say, well, you don't need a 2-hour lunch. I'm like, maybe you don't, but I do. I work for myself. Like, this is the only good thing about working for yourself. It's when you can take time off and when you don't have to be at your desk. So it's all about creating a life that you want to live. Yeah. Yes. So some people say, well, I don't want to live like a regimented soldier. I'm like, I don't feel that I am. It might look like that on paper, but in the meantime, I've got a lot of freedom in my life because of that, because there's no real surprises. And even now, I've learned that if something gets cancelled in the morning, I tend to procrastinate. So I make sure that I have a backup plan every morning. Okay, if that doesn't go ahead, I'm going to work on this XYZ project. So it's all about planning. Plan ahead.
Yeah. And discipline is one of the greatest forms, if not the greatest form of self-love, I would say as well. And I can see how that's all reflected in the actions you're taking. So you're implementing what it is that you have set out to achieve, and then you're taking those tasks, you're prioritizing those tasks. They're the ones that get your immediate attention, and you've got non-negotiables in there. And that is something I think is becoming more and more apparent in everyone's lives. I mean, sleep is a non-negotiable, and I can see how some people, they start to compromise on that, on eating, on all the little things that actually stop us from reaching burnout. And that's where it's really, really insightful to see how discipline has really shaped the way you want to work, and setting up that awareness, which I can tell you just really embody, of where you then have a plan A, but you mentioned having that plan B, and I want to talk a lot more about that, but really like hone in on that, where you mentioned if somebody cancels and or you had something come in which was that big proposal, you then methodically approached it with, right, what do I move? And also, you know that if you don't then place something into a cancelled meeting, for example, then you know where you might go into the scroll hole, which, I mean, we are also guilty of that. And you'll put something in there to make sure your time's effective. Have you established those boundaries over time? Or have you found that by trial and error, you've worked out that ebb and flow for yourself, amongst many other questions in there as well, of course?
No, it takes time. Like, this is not something that happened to me overnight. And I think what you just said there as well, discipline is one of the biggest forms of self-love. Mm-hmm. It's how you, like, life is uncontrollable, but it's how you're going to get as much control as possible from it. And it also shows you how you're going to deal with the rest of the world, right? Because we feel that a lot of things happen to us. If someone gets angry with us, that happens to us. If our boss calls us into the office, that happens to us. It's like, yeah, that can all happen to you. Mm-hmm. You're still in control of how that's going to happen to you. So I think that gives me a lot of peace of mind. And I think it would give a lot of other people peace of mind. But it took a long time. Like, in the beginning, it was very hard for me to say, oh no, I can't see you at 1 o'clock because I'm on a dog walk. And I was so worried that prospects or clients would think, like, damn, she's lazy. But now I'm like, you know what? That's my time. I don't even owe you an explanation. I'm just not available. And it really took me a lot of time to learn to say, I'm not available. No, I'm not there. Because I was so used to always being available, to always being there for everything and everyone. So yeah, for me, it's been a journey, definitely. And it doesn't happen overnight. And I still sometimes make that mistake where I'm like, oh, why do I do that to myself? But then I know, okay, that's what I'm doing it for. So, you know, you learn as you go with this, and also allow yourself to make those mistakes. Allow yourself to go, okay, well, for next time, I know that I just don't say yes on those times, or I have to get out of bed at 7. If I don't, you know, then it's all on me. If I don't get my stuff done at the end of the day, that's on me. It's not on anybody else, because we like playing the blame game, but you're the only one to blame. You're in control.
Accountability, responsibility, and even in your personal time and that time that you're, which is your non-negotiable, they are prioritized, as you say, going for a walk, having time to eat, having lunch, reading, doing all the things and exercising. I think we're really waking up to a world where discipline isn't just something you insert for business purposes. And these non-negotiables aren't just for business. They're for everything that really underpins your personal approach to self-care, self-love, so that you can excel in business. So would you say, Pascal, that by creating those non-negotiable boundaries in the things that serve you daily on a wellness level, on an emotional level, on a mindful level, would you say that those have made you stronger in business by keeping those as protected as you do business hours in your personal life? Would you say you can see how that has evolved your ability to apply yourself in business more so as a result of that?
Oh, 100%. Like, I think especially because I'm so disciplined in my private stuff. So when I wake up, when I go to the gym and stuff like that, it allows me to keep my mind free of hundreds of decisions I have to make and hundreds of unknowns that happen during the day. It means I'm so much more focused. My brain is has a lot more creativity because it's free of all of those burdens. And I'm just a much nicer person to be around, because otherwise I'm just walking around like a headless chicken, which I see a lot of new entrepreneurs do. They're just like, oh, what do I do? And they're just panicking all the time. And I'm like, okay, like, let's calm down for a minute, because they forget to eat. They don't, you know, I remember when I started, I had my cups of tea. I don't think I drank tea for 6 months, even though it was on my desk every day. And I kept getting new cups of tea, but I never drank them because I was so busy. Yes. So, and that's, we love to say that, don't we? I'm so busy. I don't have time. No, I'm so busy. We love saying that. Whilst it's like, are you really though? Because, for example, today I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 meetings. Yeah. So 5 hours in total of meetings. Yeah. On top of that, I had a 2-hour lunch break. I start at work at 10 and I will finish at 5:30. So I make sure I plan my day around that. I'm not going to put a 3-hour task in my to-do list for today. That's in my control. And if I have something that I need to finish by tomorrow, I could have planned that last week to do that. So it's all about planning, and it's all about, don't make your life harder than it needs to be. I could put in something that takes 3 hours and then I have to work tonight. I don't want to do that, so I don't. you know? And yes, of course, we don't always have control over that. And it can happen that something comes in, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not saving lives. If somebody asks me, well, we need this ASAP, and I ask them why, they go, well, so we can get it signed off quicker. And I'm like, is it really going to matter if you get it a day later? No, not really. And I'm like, cool, okay, so I will send it to you a day later. So it's all about being disciplined with protecting your time, because you are gonna let people run over you. And the more you do that, the more you say, yeah, that's fine, just this once, the more people will take and the less you have to protect. So stay in control.
Love it. Stay in control, protect your boundaries. And I guess the real thing is, you've put them there for a reason. So don't question that reason when somebody tries to come up against it. And as you mentioned, there are things that present themselves that are out of our control, but we regard those as an exception, not the rule, because if we allow it, then it becomes the rule. So it's working out where you're placing those hard rules, those values. And it is values. You know where your strengths excel. And so you build a framework around that so that you get the best version of you day in, day out, which is commendable. And I think anybody listening to this, Pascal, will also have really thought long and hard as they, you know, come away from this podcast about, right, I think there's a few changes I need to make. I definitely can sense there'll be oh, that thing I was going to say yes to, but I was umming and ahhing about, actually, no, I'm taking a hard line on that because I already knew that was the right answer. Now I've just got to have that conviction to follow through. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Alongside discipline, it builds that confidence,
yeah,
and that self-worth. And I think it's a beautiful thing, like what you've shared with us today. So yeah, thank you for that.
Glad to hear it. No, and it's also having the discipline of following your own mind. Yeah. Because you will see this everywhere. And I see this constantly on LinkedIn, for example. People saying, if you want to be successful, you need to work 24/7. You can rest when you're old. And I'm like, whoa.
Hold up.
What's successful to you, right? Because for some people, successful is having a billion-dollar business with 500 people staff, with 5 different headquarters all over the world. Yeah. For me, success is having complete freedom of what I do when, being able to start work at 10, then take a 2-hour luscious lunch break at 12, and then finish work at 5. And some people go, you can't be a founder and only work 5 hours a day. And I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing that and I'm loving life. You know, so it's really hard to see those messages and go, oh, maybe I should be working more because I could be earning more money. And I'm like, well, that's not the right way of looking at this. For me, I wanted to create a lifestyle business. So that's what I've gone and did, you know. This is a lifestyle for me. I don't work 5 days a week. I don't work on Fridays, for example. So, and that's a rule I took. And again, I was so scared in the beginning that people would go, well, that's very lazy and you're still young and you've got all this energy. I'm like, yeah, and I want to put that energy in fun things. I don't want to work 40 hours a week. I just don't want to. And if you don't have to, or you can create a world or that you designed for you to work in that way, great. I don't make £1 million a year, but I make enough to not have to worry ridiculously about money and to have freedom and to spend time with my dogs and with my husband and with my friends without, you know, completely burning out. So I think it's having the discipline to stay on your course and in your mind. And I'm not saying that my way is the best way. I'm not saying you need to work 24/7. I'm saying find something that works for you and believe in that. Just believe in that and just go with it and have the discipline to do that, because then you'll be fine. Otherwise, you won't get trampled in this world.
Yeah, so true. And you heard it here first, everyone. Like it's key, isn't it? Whatever it is you decide you're going to go and do and how you're going to shape your day, your week, your life, just check in with yourself and go, is this the way I want it to roll out? And as you mentioned, there'll be some people who I know they're like power hour is at 3 a.m. and then they will sleep till 1 in the morning, like the following day. And that's because they've worked out that's where their brain comes to life. And I think what is so wonderful to begin celebrating is this idea that we're not just trying to say you've got to stick between, you know, 9 to 5 and it's do or die. And the only way to, if you like, see the measure of your success is to be on your hands and knees, because some of these are quite old, arbitrary ways of viewing the world. And everyone's starting to go into a place where they can see that when they listen to their own mind and they respond to their own bodies and the way that they tick, they go, hang on a minute, I'm going to start laying down some rules here that make me happy. Yeah. And when you stick to them, it sounds so true, Pascal. You found that golden nugget and you found that hidden gem in you. And all you've done is literally like release her and gone, damn, she good, she mighty fine, and like your day's just rolling. And but you're serving yourself. And again, that's another I think this is another misconception where people grew up believing that you serve yourself last and everyone else first, and that's also been quite toxic for burnout. And again, you're demonstrating how serving yourself first makes you actually more helpful towards others and able to serve others far greater. So, wow, so many takeaways, so many amazing things here. I feel like we could talk for hours and still not have scratched the surface. So for our listeners, Pascal, what
What can you give them as a having? You've given them loads, by the way. What can you give them as that if you want to like part with some incredible wisdom that you just want to say and farewell? What would that piece of knowledge want to be that you just want them to like literally like hang off their right shoulder and carry around with them for the rest of the day?
I really would say have the discipline to live your flipping dreams. Just have the discipline to do that. Because, yeah. And whether that is a mindset thing, whether it is getting up at 6:30 and then going to the gym and having a very rigid schedule, whatever that is, go and do it. And then don't let anybody pull you off course. That's the most important part. So, and there's discipline needed for that.
I've just heard the whip go whip crack.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. That's what I would say.
I expect everybody now to be literally having a full non-negotiable life.
I'm no longer available. Bye-bye.
I'll see you in 2020. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us today. And as always, to all of our incredible listeners, thank you so much. And Pascal has said if you want to use the code Black Panther and reach out to her on LinkedIn, we always provide all the links. So if you want to check in on those, then do reach out to Pascal and she'll have a little surprise for you in store and tell you about all the great things that she's doing. But yeah, use the code Black Panther. And wow, it's been a pleasure. We will definitely have to do another one, part two, not forgetting the sushi video.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm joining you on that because sushi is life. Like,
I feel like we need to do this.
Sushi Sundays. There we go. Exactly. That'll become a non-negotiable. It'll be like, oh. Like very expensive, luxurious. Only the finest sushi will do. Never know, Pascal. There might be a sushi restaurant listening. An owner now is thinking, right, here we go. You know, Vandalis's food, his sushi or her sushi restaurant. You're going to be invited to dine.
I will make that exception and exchange my 12-2 dog walk for a sushi eating session. No problemo.
No problemo. The dogs will be there just like,
oh yeah, they will.
Wow, drooling. Like, yeah, get me in on the action, please.
Exactly. Love it.
Oh, super. Well, thank you everybody for listening to the Black Panther podcast, Into the Wild with Business. We've definitely peeled back some layers today and got stuck in with the fabulous Pascal Bergmans, who is the queen of the jungle, fairy godmother of all things public speaking, and of course her superpower, discipline. So oh, have the best day. Cheers, Pascal. Take care.